have a seat. I'm going to invite the team. We have two teams leaving here in the next month or so, one going to Honduras and one going to Ecuador, and I just want to invite them to come up so we can commission them. As they're coming up, I just want to explain commissioning. Some of you may not be familiar with it. Commissioning is this this concept that we want to send them off with our blessing. We want to send them off asking God to do incredible things in their ministry, both in Ecuador and in Honduras. When we started the church, we wanted to be kind of a come and see kind of culture, which means this: we wanted people to come in and see how great Jesus is, how amazing he is, what he can do in them and through them. And so we love to point people to this incredible person in Jesus, that he died for us and just has incredible things in store for us. But coming out of that, he doesn't just we don't just come and sit and just kind of receive. One of the things that God has called us to is to go do something as well. And so we want to be a culture, we want to be a church where we send people to the calling that God has placed on them. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is kneel at one of the crosses, and I'm going to invite those who are family or leaders of the church to come up and place their hands on them. Placing your hands on them as a symbol of just support and also a symbol of just our blessing in some ways. And so then we're just going to spend some time praying over them this morning. So why don't we just stand and do this together? If you want to come up and place your hands on them, we can do that as well. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we look at these two teams that you have put together, and you are sending them off to do some incredible things that they have no idea really of what you have planned for them. We think of the Honduras team and Mike and Glenda as they've been working down there over the last few years doing ministry in a lot of different ways. And we pray for this team that's going, that you will just knit the conversations together that they're going to be having, that you will give them your Holy Spirit's power to serve you, and just that they'll have some incredible stories of what you have done in them, but also through them as they head to Honduras. We think of the Ecuador team, God, and think of the families that will be going, and we just want to pray over them and ask your blessing on them. Ask you to just orchestrate the various activities and events that will be happening down there, that you will produce life change both in the people who are going on this trip, but also in the people they come in contact with. May you bind both groups together. May they just be one, and just to really enjoy some incredible moments with you and just seeing you work and just do incredibly more than all we ask or imagine. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So we're doing the Skeptic series, Questioning God. And last week we talked about really the Bible and how do we know the Bible is true. And we were talking about this idea of the house of cards. I don't know if you've ever built a house of cards where you're kind of balancing it together, build the higher and higher. And if the Bible is not true, the reality is all of this that we're doing, this church thing, this Christianity thing, this Jesus who we're talking to, is really a house of cards that comes collapsing down if the Bible is not true. This morning, I wanted to lean a little further into that because one of the places I think our culture has especially attacked, or especially is like, if we can prove this, then all of this is not worth anything, is this whole idea of how the world began. All right, Genesis 1:1, the very first verse of the Bible, says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And really, if you would understand that verse, you would understand that that verse is a development throughout all of the Old Testament, into the New Testament, into Revelation, where God's going to restore his creation to the beauty it once was. All right, sin has destroyed it, but God is restoring, and so God is still recreating that beauty from the beginning. So if that is true, we have a great story that God's writing for us. But if it's not true, I think we're going back to the house of cards. If God did not create the world from the beginning, if that verse in Genesis 1:1 is not true, then all the rest of it can be thrown away. Is that fair to say? All the rest of it doesn't matter. And so what our world and culture has done is created this battle of trying to disprove Genesis 1:1. In fact, they had not only gone to efforts to disprove it, I think they have gone to the point of discrediting people who believe this. Meaning this, this is what the what you're probably being told in our culture today. If you are a science person, you cannot be a person of faith. And if you're a person of faith, then you're really an idiot because you don't believe in science. You either believe in science or you believe in faith. You cannot do both. Here's some of the questions that I was we're walking through a little bit today. Here's one of them. Some would have you think that faith and reason are like oil and water. They cannot be mixed. So you have the faith people who just believe, and you have the science people who believe on rationale. I can never take the blind leap of faith, Christianity asks. I am too rationalistic. Hasn't science disproved the Bible? No real scientist could ever believe in the God of Scriptures. And kind of going off of that, I can't believe in God. I'm a scientist. And some would say that all that this really is a religious crutch for those who are weak to be able to survive their life. Do you get the push of what's happening in our culture? If you believe in this, then you're non-rational, you have blind faith, and really you are a fool. But if you believe in evolution and the mindset of our world happening from a Big Bang, you are intelligent and well thought out and rational. And I want to define a few things before I really get into some of the evidence. Science is this. This is what I probably should preface it by saying this. Some of you are smarter than me. A lot of you are smarter than me. Most of you are. And so when I'm talking about science, understand I'm out. I've done a lot of research this last week, but understand that some of you know more about this than I do. And so I only have 20 minutes to walk through science, okay? And so understand where I'm a simplistic person. I mean, I like 2 + 2 = 4. I had a class one time where I was doing this idea of like how simple things is, 2 + 2 = 4, then one person who's a math major says, well, that's not technically true sometimes. And I'm like, all right, so that just throw, like, I'm a simple person, all right? And so when I'm looking at this idea of creation and this idea of science, I am a, so just know where my basis is. But let me give you the definition of science. The intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experiment. All right, so they just really kind of complicated the thing of science. Let me just give you a simplified my definition. Science is the belief that we live in a cause and effect world, and that the more we understand cause and effect, the more things make sense. It's the understanding of cause and effect. Let me just give you some others. Sides of it. We believe in a natural order, that our world is ordered, not chaotic. It can be understood. That's kind of the background of it, that we can understand what's happening. Faith comes from the definition of Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Faith is a trust. It's like I'm going to place myself in the hands of, I'm stepping into because I trust that person. Let me just, because I want to start with this idea that faith and science and are really tied together. Because I think faith is based on evidence. I step because I trust in the evidence. I have done my research. I've looked through the word. I've looked at culture and I said, all right, I trust that this is true. I believe by the evidence that this is true. And so there is evidence that I'm building my life on. And so I don't think that faith has to be blind faith. I think faith is based on something. And so my hope as we walk through this series that you won't accept this idea of this faith just because I'm saying it or because the church you grew up is saying it. I'm hoping that you will do your due diligence, your research to say, yes, I either believe or I don't believe based on the evidence. But I do believe that if this is truth, there'll be evidence to back it up. And I believe there is evidence that back to it. But I want to flip the other side. Science is also based on faith. You ever notice that science is constantly changing? Like, wine's bad for you. No, wine's good for you. Coffee's bad for you. No, coffee's good for you. Like, this is the food pyramid. No, not that food pyramid. Let's do a little circle with a little pie chart. Like things, do you ever notice that science is always seems to be changing? Not just over the last 300 years, but in the last 5 years. In fact, I bet you if I could Google this, I could do like 3 articles about coffee and all of them say different things about the health benefits of coffee. Do you understand? Like, because we're taking our rational thinking and we're drawing conclusions from that rationalization. The conclusions are faith-based and the evidence is over here. They're drawing a conclusion by the evidence. Their conclusions can be wrong and have been wrong and have been changed over and over and over again, but it's based on evidence. See, can I just lean into this? That the Big Bang Theory, in essence, says this, that billions of years ago, 18.6 and a change billion years ago, that this whole galaxy, universe, everything that we see, everything we know, was started in this little ball of somethingness that all of a sudden, without any reason, kind of exploded and made galaxies, stars, moons, planets, life forms, water, and it's constantly expanded out of this one big small little ball that kind of exploded at one point. Now, can I just lead? Okay, this is my bias. I know I'm biased. But what's harder for me to believe? That there was a ball of nothingness, of somethingness but nothingness, that exploded, that created all of this, or that there was a God who designed it, who made things run? I'm just saying, if I'm looking at the evidence in my mind's eye, that's a big step of faith to believe that things exploded and that you guys are here because of it. And so understand that we're look, put the two together. Take evidence and build your faith on the evidence, whatever that leads you to. And so let me just walk through some evidence with you that I think. Again, understand I'm biased, and so you're in a church, so you're getting the biased side of it, but that I believe leads us more to the idea that, man, there had to be a God who, in the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. Darwin came up with this idea of simple cell. All right, this idea of simple cell is that all of life on this planet began with a simple cell that kind of accidentally formed by these amino acids lining up perfectly and over a period of time, and all of a sudden life began and all this. It evolved from nothing to a simple cell, and then it kind of just slowly evolved into something more fancy, until we get to us and other things. Now, when Darwin was around, there wasn't the microscopes that could look into a simple cell. He would look in, and all he would see is a little circle, all right, with a couple little things in it. But today, we have the science behind the simple cell, and I'm going to tell you this: it's not so simple. It is a very complex. Every living cell is very complex. It has all sorts of systems working all at the same time. And let me just give you a few of those. They have control systems. They have quality issue systems. They have assembly systems. They have communication systems. They have replication systems. They have feeding systems. They have discharge systems. They have all these systems in a simple cell. If you all these amino acids, all this stuff working together. So you're evolutionary is saying that we jumped from nothing into a very complex living cell that can somehow reproduce over. Can I just paint it this way? That in that living cell is this thing called DNA. All right, I'm not going to go into the birds and bees, hoping that most of you know what that is. But at one point in all of your lives, you were one cell. And in that one cell, there was all this information about what you are today. You're like, well, the hair color, that's not a big deal. eye color, but all of the information. I'm talking about how your stomach works. I'm talking about how your spleen works. I'm talking about how your lungs work. I'm talking about how those cells become specialized. I'm talking about how your fingers work. I'm talking about how your eyes work. I'm talking about, we went to the Empowered Connect conference. We just had that here at the church, talking about the brain, the especially in a child, and how those neurons, how those things fire and affect your whole body. Like right now, all right, this morning you put on your underwear. I hope you put on your underwear. And for like 3 minutes you felt it. But there's something in your brain that says, hey, you're not wearing, you don't feel it anymore. All of a sudden it's just there, right? That your brain is functioning at such a, like you have like these little fear factors that all of a sudden pop up. Like you ever have that when you're driving and all of a sudden you realize something, you have this like jerk or this jolt in you and you're like, what? Your brain is functioning at such a incredibly high level. It has fears and emotions and it has memories and it has like, you don't think, are you thinking about breathing right now? Well, you probably not till I said it. And now you're like, wait, yes, I'm breathing. You know, but you don't think about it because it's in, your brain has all, let me trace it back, all to one set of DNA in one cell that began however many years ago since conception. What fits better? That is an accident and just evolved into it, or that there is a designer who created it? Can I just, we have this thing called a computer back here, up here, you know, and we know that someone designed it. Someone built that Mac computer and has all sorts of information on it. But this morning, you know, we woke up and we spent, Jake Russell spent about 2 hours trying to get it to work. It's like a year old and it's not functioning right. It's like breaking down and nothing on the screen and there's weird looking things on it. And that's designed. That's a computer that's designed by somebody. Listen to this. When your cells are replicating, you start with one and how many, I can't even count that high. Like, how many cells do you have in your body? And how precise that replication had to be in order to do that over and over and over. You ever worked in a factory? And just the number of bad products that are produced over and that's designed by somebody? But this is, we're saying that something that was not designed by somebody, something that happens accidentally, falls into place and replicates perfectly and beautifully, and not even just replicates itself, it changes into different like cells, like skin cells and heart cells, and all that sort of stuff. You're telling me what fits better is accidental versus design? I mean, it's not a simple cell. It's complex. You are not simple. It's complex. Like, we look around our world. Think about the way we dance with the water and with the plants, how the plants make oxygen and we breathe oxygen and we breathe out carbon dioxide and they take in carbon dioxide and the sun comes and the sun's supposed to come and someday it will come and the flowers will pop up and those flowers are beautiful and yet they're, that doesn't even seem like an evolutionary deal, like it wouldn't be necessary to be beautiful, but they're beautiful and I'm just, what fits? What's a better explanation? And let me give you another one. I forget what year it was, but this guy, I think it was Hubble, came around and started looking at the world, the galaxies, and he's like noticing that the galaxies are drifting, they're moving apart. Like our universe is growing bigger. Like things are exploding. So what they came up with the idea of, this is where the Big Bang Theory came in, is like, all right, let's trace it back. The universe is expanding, evidence of it. You know, you can see it. It's visual. So you can look at the evidence and say, all right, let's trace it back. That's how the Big Bang Theory came about. They're like, trace it back. All right, where did it had to start from a thing then? Okay. There is a thing called Jesus, God saying, let there be light. And all of a sudden there's light. And you don't think that God has the power to have that power of his word expanding that those universes and galaxies all the more? All I'm saying is, man, Big Bang Theory or God saying, let there be light? By the way, I should let you know that although this book is not a science book, as in like it's not, we don't take it for science classes, that this book is hundreds, if not thousands of years ahead of its time and its science that's in it. Let me just give you a few of those. Did you know that in Isaiah 40, verse 22, says the earth is sphere? By the way, there's still people today that believe it's flat. But back in Isaiah's day, before Christ, he's like, the earth is round. For years, they thought that there was only 1,000 and change stars, because that's all they could see. Like, there's 1,022 stars, or some number like that. But that's all we can see. The Bible says that stars are, like, uncountable. In fact, this is what he says to Abraham. Your descendants will be like the stars of the sky. You know, I don't think God was saying you'll have 1,000 descendants. I think he's saying you're going to have, like, innumerable descendants. It's just going to spiral out of control that you're going to have that many descendants. Air has weight. How about this one? Each star is different. The Bible says each star is 1 Corinthians 15:41. That although from our viewpoint, you look at a star, they all look the same. One's a little brighter than another, but they're all basically a piece of light. That they're, if you took a telescope, they're all beautifully designed differently. They're like, every star is amazingly complex and beautifully intricate and different from all the other stars. How about this one? I love the fact that when God said, let there be light, he created light. And for years, there probably wasn't any science on it, but light is something. Darkness is nothing. Light is something. There is a reality to light. Light is measurable. Light has movement. Light ages. You know, all those sort of things. Like, light, it's proven to be something. You can see it. You can do something with it. And in the beginning of the whole base of the Bible says, the very first thing he says, let there be light. It talks about the way the ocean flows, that there are currents in the ocean, the Bible talks about, that blood is the source of life and health, that ocean floors contain deep valleys and mountains, winds blow and cyclones. Like, over and over, there is science in the Bible that is proven true, but not proven to hundreds of years later. Now, I will paint the other side of it too. There are times the Bible says the sun rose and the sun sets. And you're like, well, that proves that the Bible isn't true because that doesn't happen. We still say the Bible, or we still say the sun rises and the sun sets. And so it's literary. There is literary, right? There is things that we say that aren't exactly true, but they're poetically true. From our viewpoint, the sun does rise. From the way we see it, the sun does go down. There are viewpoint things as well, but overall, the Bible is very true to the science that it talks about. Let me just give you a couple other ones. This whole idea of the fossils. Fossils are the things that are in the ground and like rocks that have little things on it that show an animal, vegetable, something. And for years I was like, well, that must prove that they're something, you know. And here's the problem. If you look at the amount of fossils they have collected over however many decades, centuries, there is a lack. What you should see by definition of the evolutionary process is a multitude of transitional animals, transitional plants. Like, you should see a frog with wings, right? Or you should see one arm but not the other arm. You should see some macro evolutionary transitions. I'm not saying this. I'm saying, like, a multitude. Shouldn't you walk, be able to walk through eras and be like, lots, 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 and see the transition going forward? But what you find is a lack of transitionary fossils, and what you also find is that some of the most complex animals were around a long time. The dinosaurs are complex in the way they were designed. By the way, do you know the Bible talks about dinosaurs? It doesn't neglect it. In Job, it talks about this animal that has a large tail that's huge and has this huge chest, and it has all sorts of. It's not an elephant. Have you ever seen an elephant's tail? It's like, you know, I don't even know if that's what it does, but a dinosaur's tail is large, you know, and so it defines it that way. And so this idea of what evidence fits best. I mean, there's a lot more I could tell you, and I want you to do your own research. But what fits best for morality? for this morning, you're coming in, and I bet you all of us feel there's an injustice someplace in our world. Like, that's not right. That breaks my heart. I want to go fight for this. In all of us, there is a line of justice. There's a line of like right and wrong. We watch movies. Star Wars is based on good versus evil. Lord, we have an inside of us designed that we want good versus evil. If you believe in the evolutionary process without God, where does that come in? Because really, if the strongest survive, then what we're saying throughout history is if you didn't survive, then you were weak, and that's the way it is. The Holocaust. They were weak. That's their fault. Racism. I'm a better... By evolutionary definition, racism is valid because there are certain races that may be getting stronger and better than other races. Does that sound like something that sounds right to you? It doesn't sound right to me. You know, there is no morality in evolution. It's whatever you think it is. Let me relationship. You know, have you ever been to a zoo in the spring? I don't think they do relationship. They do breeding. Sometimes it's not so pleasant. But that's not how we were designed by God. That's not what he knit into us. In fact, if you really look at who we are, Sometimes our worst decisions that we make are based on being lonely. Do you think that sounds evolutionary, or does that sound like by design that God created us for a relationship? What fits best? You know, sociology, how these relationships work, hurt and pain, what fits best, that God designed us for it, or that the evolutionary process? Psychology, what's going on inside of you? The study of ourselves, the study of addiction, the study of this brokenness in our body, you know, in our souls. The study of ourselves, what fits better? Evolutionary process or God who created? How about this? The whole idea of our brokenness in our world. Shouldn't our world be getting better over time? Should we have less war? Shouldn't we have less genocide? Shouldn't we have less junk happening? Shouldn't we have less molestation? I mean, say we just formed morality. It's all of a sudden just popped up on us, evolutionary-wise. Shouldn't things be getting better? And I'm just telling you, there's more wars over the last century than the previous however many centuries. There's more junk happening today than there's at least the same. Let me just give you one of my pet peeves. This is just a side note. If you believe in evolution, why do you care about the environment? Why do you care if we're throwing plastic away? We're going to evolve anyway. That plastic will someday be an animal. Let it evolve. Stop recycling. But because we, by God's design, that he put us over creation and this beautiful environment, doesn't it make sense that we want to care for it? This is the truth. This is what's happening. The reason this battle is so huge, this is the reason the schools are so like, this is the way it is. This is what the evidence proves. This is, you're an idiot if you believe any different. The reason why this is such a big factor in our world is because what we really, behind the scenes, what we want to do is we want to take God off his throne. We don't want his morality. We don't want his rules. We don't want his relate. We don't want God. We want to be the center of our lives and be able to rationally decide what's right and wrong, what's good for us. We want control. We want to be the term is humanistic. We want to be the center of this creation rather than God being the one who made it. That's the battle. And the way that they win this battle is by taking everyone through this evolutionary thought process and saying there is no God, and if you believe in God, you're an idiot. Listen, this is where I want to end today. I know that you're coming in knowing that I'm biased, and I am. I've done my research. But what I wanted to walk away with is this. Don't settle for what everybody else believes. Do the work. Read Tim Keller. There's some great videos from Chip Ingram about this idea. Read Dawkins, Richard Dawkins. Read all sides. Study it. What makes sense? What worldview makes sense over what we're seeing today? Is it the evolutionary process, or is there a God who created all? Do the work, do the research, see where you come out. Don't take someone else's conclusions because they want to believe. You know what Richard Dawkins said? I believe it was Richard. He said that the best explanation for our world is the Big Bang Theory, and even if there was not evidence for it, it's still the best definition, best model for our world. Do you know what he's saying is? I already have my conclusion. You know what a lot of scientists are saying? I already have my conclusion, and I'm going to prove it through science somehow and make the science work for me, even if it doesn't match up. And I'm just telling you, that's not proper either. I don't think it's proper for us to tell you, hey, just believe in God without doing the work. I'm saying do the work. Because this is what I know. If God is true, if this book is true, if Genesis 1:1 is true, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, then that God is worth pursuing and worth knowing. If there is, I am not afraid. Over thousands of years, this book has been under intense scrutiny and has yet to fall. The house of cards is yet to collapse. And I'm going to tell you, it can take your questions, it can take your research, and we won't know everything because we're not very smart people. But the preponderance of the evidence, I believe, will point toward a loving God who created us in his image to do his work here and to someday be restored to the right relationship with him. That's what I think, the preponderance of the evidence. Not what we think, but what we can see will lead us to. We're going to pray and then have a few announcements for you. Lord, I just thank you. That we aren't just saying words in this prayer, but I believe that we're talking to a real God who's listening to us. Your ears are attentive, that you know us, that you knit this world together in perfect design, that in a simple cell you put more complexity than we can ever understand, that in our bodies that there's more beauty and intricacy, and in our brains there's such functioning and such incredible things that we don't even think about. And in our nature and just the beauty of it, and then the way our systems work together, and the way our universe was created or made, and the stars and the sky, we look all around us, all the way. There is such design here, God. And we thank you that in your wisdom, you've designed it in an incredible beauty and complexity, and that I believe it points to you and says, hey, lean to me, walk with me. And so I just pray that as we do our own research, as we look into it, that that you will reveal yourself, that you will fulfill your word, that as we seek you, we will find you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a few last announcements as we finish up today. There is a Higher Hope 101, which is basically just information.